Well, Darrell, in the last few trading sessions, we sure have seen some pretty sharp drops, both in our Canadian futures markets and the U.S. markets. Any major reason that you're seeing, or is it a whole bunch of different factors here?
Well, it's a number of different factors, Ray. I guess the first factor that started driving this market lower was much improved yield prospects for American soybeans and corn. That started in early July. That's when we had our initial break in the market. All through the month, of course, the yield estimates continued to improve. There were no major weather issues. But then I think the next thing that came along was the crude oil market reaching a peak at roughly the same time, around $145 a barrel. And then it started to break, too, on demand just starting to fall off. We saw reports of U.S. Summer driving habits starting to change. So the market was doing its job, rationing demand. And those two things started to lead us lower. But the sell-off here yesterday was supposedly a very large commodity fund, which was forced to liquidate positions by the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which reclassified their designation.
Let's talk about that a little bit there, Darrell. If we can, I guess, explain things a little further. There have been some new guidelines put in place for trading on these commodity markets?
Yeah, and basically it comes down to whether a commodity fund is classified as a hedge fund or whether it is a spec fund. And in order to be in a hedging classification, you have to have underlying assets that match the position. So it would be like a grain elevator has a grain in store. It technically can hedge off up right up to the volume of the amount of physical product that it has underlying its position. Now, some of these funds were using derivatives to emulate a physical position, and they were able to get around the speculative limits.
So with what happened yesterday, you're seeing the indication that one of these funds, because of these new rules, just had to get out of its position then?
That's right. It was overextended in its position, and there was a ruling passed. And this, is, of course, has not been confirmed yet that the Commodity Futures Trading Corporation reclassified them from commercial, which would be a hedging-type designation, to a spec classification. They were way offside in their positions and, of course, had to liquidate them. So when you get that kind of volume, and it's estimated to be about 40,000 contracts of both corn and beans, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the market.
Is this something we could see more of, Darrell?
Well, there's been some discussion now, again, through the month of July, that, of course, rules changes were going to come into play to kind of curb some of this speculative activity and get a better handle on it. It seems as though the regulatory authorities have had a difficult time staying abreast with the changes that are going on in the industry. So there has been some lobbying, and, of course, that lobbying was strongest when energy prices were near their top and corn prices also were near their top. With concerns about inflation and its impact on the American consumer.
Darrell, one of the other factors you talked about off the top was the improving crop prospects for corn and soybeans in the U.S. I guess the severity of that flooding earlier in the year, it seems to be not quite as bad as some were thinking initially?
Well, we lost some acres, and of course it put the crop back in terms of yield development. But I think if we would have had very, very hot, dry weather, Ray, you know, some extreme weather after that took place, that we wouldn't have had this shift in sentiment that we've had. But the weather pattern then just unfolded to be just about perfect. You know, temperatures not too high, but good and warm to move the crop forward, beneficial rainfall. So we lost some acres, there's no question, but the yield estimates now are quite a bit higher than what we estimated in June, from around 148 to now the private trade is expecting around 154 for corn. So when you add another 6 bushels on the crop base at large, that more than makes up for the lost flooded acreage. The only issue really here is that we've got a fair amount of crop that's still behind development. And should the weather pattern move into abnormally cold or frost type event, then we could see a rapid change in sentiment once more. But for the time being, crop's moving along very nicely. And so the sentiment has moved away from that worry.
So any weather premium that was in the market is basically being taken out here, Darrell?
Been taken out and taken out very quickly. I mean, this has happened within the course of 1 month, so a very, very sharp drop. We had a similar type fall that we talked about earlier back in February, March, Ray, where we broke the market quite hard. But then, of course, we had the whole growing season ahead of us, so we started to stiffen up again as we went through that flooding event. But yes, the weather premium here has been completely stripped out of the market here for the time being.
Darrell, you also mentioned the oil factor is one that is influencing our grain and commodity markets. It has been running pretty close with the corn and soybean futures here?
Well, it was, of course, with respect to the renewable fuels, soybeans being made into biofuel and also corn. So there was a very nice linkage there, and with energy going up, of course, the demand for the feedstock for making biofuels, of course, went up likewise. But now that we've had a drop in crude oil values, again, that's another factor that's taken away bullish sentiment here. We've come off quite sharply from 145 a barrel down to 120 here right now. So, you know, that's definitely, you know, it looks as though the price rationing mechanism of the market is working.
So with all these factors in near term pulling these markets down, what do you see, I guess, further out, Darrell? Is there going to be a floor here that we're going to hit soon?
Well, we're sitting actually right on a fairly major floor right now in terms of canola, Ray. Around $550 was the April low. We got through that number briefly yesterday. We're trading about $6 or $7 a ton above it as we speak right now. But it's a very tentative low here, because if we were to move through the August crop report and the yield estimate was to be higher than trade expectations, and we were to continue to have favorable weather developments, it's not inconceivable that we could break that market another round, and that would take us down another $50 a ton to around the 500 marker.
Darrell, traditionally, though, also this time of year is when the markets will sag through the fall. Is this something farmers just should be aware of here?
Well, yeah, there's actually two time periods, and yes, generally we do tend to come off at this time into actually July time frame, you know, July, early August, in around there, especially if crops look to be made and the yield estimates look to be favorable. Generally then they don't start to firm up again until you get, you know, a little closer to harvest, so when the demand base starts to pick up. So we'll look for that kind of a seasonal pattern one more time, but wouldn't rule out another break yet before we're finished this sell-off here that we've been going through. If you need further information, contact Darrell at 1-800-277-9524 or visit the website keystonetrading.com, Market Minute.